Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our expository study of the book of Joel. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com or mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin this expository study of the book of Joel. This is part one of two.
Right after our current events update, I'm sure people are on the edge of their seats waiting to hear what Greg Miller has to say about what happened today. Well, there was supposed to be the confirmation of the Electoral College vote with the objections and presentation of the evidence, and Ted Cruz and I can't remember who the congressman was stood up and objected. So they put the joint session in recess, went to the House and Senate respectively, started their debates over the objection, and group of people crashed into the Capitol building. They did have, some of them had some Trump stuff on. Others of them didn't. So the question everybody is now asking, was it Trump supporters who actually did it? And we have no idea, to be honest with you, but of course the news media has already tried and convicted everybody, just like they did the kids in from Covington Catholic. And you know, we have such good reporters. I mean, the reporting in this country is so good.
Top notch.
Just stellar.
Well, if you compare it to the work that a 2-year-old might do.
That's a good point, Johnny. That is.
Yes.
In other words, we don't have a real news media in this country. And I say it with all the love in my heart, but if you're watching ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, or even Fox News most of the time, you're an idiot. You shouldn't even be allowed to walk around in public alone. You ought to have somebody holding your hand and helping you get through life if you're that stupid. I'm sorry, was that too mean? I mean,
the government is willing to give you that person.
It's the equivalent of someone calling himself a Christian and going to the Church of Satan. It really is. Anybody who claims to be a God-fearing American watching that crap is like a Christian going to church at the Church of Satan. It really is that far from the truth. And so when we came in tonight, these idiots, I just every once in a while flip through to see what the liars are saying. And tonight I went to Donato's and they had MSNBC on. And they've already declared it was a bunch of Trump supporters and Donald Trump is to blame, of course.
Of course, it has to be impeached.
So as I said, we were watching it on C-SPAN and this is how Trump supporters have torn down Capitol barriers, chasing or clashing with police. Well, if you look, you'll find only sporadically where you see red hats and Trump flags. So that's the big problem. Now, this was what was going on while a small group was attacking the Capitol. This was going on. And as you can see, how many... they say there's up to 200,000 people there. We have other pictures of all the people that you're, again, your fake, lying news media at ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and I don't know about Fox News this time. They don't show that. They only show Trump with a few heads in front of him speaking. They don't show you what really is going on. Paul Joseph Watson said, why would anyone have a problem with Trump supporters behaving like BLM supporters?
Yep.
I mean, seriously, why is it okay for Black Lives Matter and Antifa to burn down cities and loot?
Amen.
And then somehow the same people who excuse that and say that it's mostly peaceful protests will paint this thing up like it's the worst thing that ever happened. I only say that it's obvious that you're being lied to. These people have an agenda. on those news programs. After all, as the media constantly insist, BLM is peaceful. What are the odds? This is another guy I don't know, Tim Young. He says, what are the odds that Antifa and anarchists are dressed as Trump supporters, trying to agitate and get people physically fighting? I've never met a single Trump supporter who would attack a police officer. Amen. Now, we've had Sean Richardson at some of these rallies downtown Columbus, and he was there at the D.C., so it'd be interesting to hear his perspective on this, because he says that every time they have a rally, the BLM and Antifa people show up to start trouble and start fights, and none of the liars at 10 TV, Channel 4, Channel 6 and 28, none of those liars tell people that. You don't see that on your local fake news. And then what do the Trump supporters do? They leave. They don't fight. Sean says, you know, once that stuff starts, everybody just leaves. So you're being lied to big time. They want you to believe this guy's a Trump supporter. He's in there looting the Capitol building, taking one of their big podiums. Here's the guy who sat in the seat Mike Pence was in. I don't see anything about Trump, but I do see the communist fist. And that's Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Their signs even have that. You can drive around these idiots here in Worthington, Ohio with their Black Lives Matter signs, and you'll see that in their front yards. Well, there was a report, early report, one person was shot in the neck and one was shot in the chest at the Capitol. They linked the protest to what was going on at the Capitol, and they were two separate, distinct events. So this fella, Joe Layden, reported that Mike Pence had unfollowed President Trump on Twitter. If he did, then Mike Pence is a punk. Yep. The only reason for Mike Pence to unfollow Donald Trump is that he believes the claptrap and the lies that he is being fed by the liars in the mainstream news media.
I just read they banned Trump for 12 hours off Twitter.
And Trump made a video calling on people not to be violent, and they blocked it because in the video he made reference to the election fraud. Because Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube are branches of the Democrat Party. They are Democrat propagandists, and that's all they are. Twitter, YouTube, Facebook.
Yep. Amen.
He says the Antifa folks dressed in MAGA stormed the Capitol when real MAGA was at the other end of the plaza listening to the speech, as we showed you. Not one of the news media is telling that right now.
Yep.
Every single news media outlet is lying to the American people. When Donald Trump said that our news media is the enemy of the people, he was right, and everyone, including the Republicans who said otherwise, are an embarrassment.
Amen.
They stormed it while Pence was reading his treason speech, but could not have heard it. He says, lots of planning here, and that's what I think. I see this, how this is all unfolding. It really looks well planned. And if you don't think that the people do that, and if you don't think your own government does this, you just don't know history. That's why I beg people to learn history.
Amen.
So the tweeting was not really helpful, though. You think about it. They were tweeting while these people are storming the Capitol building. How many of you think were going, oh, wait a minute, guys. Wait. There's a tweet. I mean, think how dumb that was. They were all doing it, including Trump. He was advised, please support our Capitol Police and law enforcement. They're truly on the side of our country. It's fine. Fine statement. I am asking for everyone at the U.S. Capitol to remain peaceful. No violence. Fine, fine, fine. But they weren't looking at tweets. So it's like people live in a world where they think Twitter is like on everybody, you know, lives in Twitter land. Nobody I know does. There are certain people who do, and they form Twitter mobs. But outside of that world, no one I know, even people who I know who are on Twitter, they just check it every once in a while. You know what I'm saying? Jack, go ahead.
Just so everybody can breathe a sigh of relief.
Don't get choked up now.
I'm looking at Snopes right now, which is horribly, horribly liberal. But even they're saying that it's false that Donald Trump or that Pence unfollowed Donald Trump.
Really? Okay. So that's interesting, because I actually looked at two or three other places. I can't look at Twitter. I'm blocked from Twitter. And it's because I posted something and they demanded that I take it down or I couldn't look at their website. Well, up theirs. I'm not deleting it. And I'm just not going to bow to these people anymore. But that's why I couldn't check it directly on Twitter. And I went to two or three other sources and they all said that was going on. So if Mike Pence did not unfollow Donald Trump, he may not be a punk. But I still have my questions and doubts about him. I've said that over the years. I've been very pleased most of the time with what he's done, just like Mitch McConnell. But I am not fooled. Mitch McConnell's a punk. And you're going to see it again. Just like before Trump, you're going to see the after Trump. Like BC and AD for Mitch McConnell is BP and AP. I don't trust that man as far as you can throw a turtle. So, the issue, Jim Gunnett, unconstitutional rule changes. That's the issue. Unconstitutional rule changes by corrupt states resulted in fraudulent elections.
Amen.
Don't lose sight of that fact. All this Dominion software and this and that all contributed. But the main point was that this election was a violation of the Constitution itself.
Amen.
You are only allowed to make your rules in your state legislature.
Amen.
They made changes at the Secretary of State level and even in local levels.
Yeah.
Made changes to the election rules and laws without going through the legislature. That's a violation, I believe, of the 12th Amendment of the Constitution.
Amen.
And so that's the point that sadly was being made by Ted Cruz and others before all this blew up. But just all too slick and convenient to me. You know, they had it all ready to lay out and everything. And yes, it may still end up with Biden being installed. I don't know. But right as they're just getting started, and boom. And I believe the reason is the fact that the communist globalists are taking over. And this is in preparation for the Antichrist. Psalm 31:6, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord.
Amen.
That's really the two sides you're talking about in this whole thing. There are those who regard lying vanities, those who believe what's on the news media and believe what they're told all the time, believe the lies not only about Donald Trump, the lies about our history, the lies about our country, the lies about illegal immigrants, and that the fact that we are not opposed to immigration, we're opposed to illegal immigration, and the fact that the reason the Democrats and the globalist neocons and rhinos want these immigrants to illegals to come across our border is so that we will be destroyed as a government, and that we will then be a part of the world government of Antichrist. So Joel 2, we're going to start in verse 22. Title this, "And my people shall never be ashamed. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed.
Amen.
All God's people say amen. So Joel interjects some good news describing the kingdom to come. It's basically what we're saying. It's a bit of a summary, an overview, after he talks about, as we saw in our previous study, that he has a land, and that land is his, and he has his eyes on it from January 1st to December 31st. And he loves this land. It's called the Pleasant Land many times in Scripture. And he loves it for his own purposes and own reasons, but he also has promised this land to Abraham and to his seed, which we find out later is through Isaac and not Ishmael, through Jacob and the 12 sons and their offspring, which today we see back in the land after about 1900, 1800 and some years. They were kicked out around 70 AD and went back, started going back around the 1880 period, and then became a nation again in 1948. And now more and more Jews are going back. It's interesting, I read commentaries from like the 1960s and 70s and even 80s, and some of them, like J. Vernon McGee, didn't want to identify this modern state of Israel as a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. One of the reasons was because there were still so many Jews around the world. Well, you can't interpret the Bible based on headlines. That always gets you in trouble. And so what people actually, that was the criticism before the World Congress of Zionism in the 1880s. Before that, there were Christians writing about this and teaching this. People who are, there's this big conspiracy theory, you know, involving J.N. Darby and Schofield and all these people. Well, they were just basing it on the Bible, not on the newspapers. And people said, that's impossible. One of the reasons why so many of the reformers would not believe what the Bible said about the regathering of Israel, the Jews in Israel, in the end times, because they just thought it was impossible. So they had trouble believing the Bible. And so they would come up with these alternative theories called amillennialism or postmillennialism. And but those who believe the Bible from the time of the church fathers on, that's what they're called. They're not really church fathers. They were Christians in the first century and second century, but they're called the church fathers from that point on. Justin Martyr and others believed what the Bible said about this coming kingdom, this thousand-year reign where Jesus is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. And so on down through the years, now the Dark Ages, we don't know how many people really believed that the Bible truth on those matters, because there was so much killing and they would burn their books and burn down their churches and everything. We lost a lot of documentation. But there was proof, evidence that the Waldenses, for example, who traced their lineage all the way back to the times of the apostles, believed in it. And so we have this heritage as Christians of believing that Jesus is going to return and he's going to rule and reign sitting on a throne in Jerusalem. Amen. That is why God loves that land and has his eyes on that land and has said, don't sell my land. And that's what really Jenny was telling somebody today. We love Benjamin Netanyahu and I love Donald Trump, but they're both wrong. These land for peace deals are wrong and may explain why Donald Trump may lose the presidency. Really might. So with that backdrop, then we come to verse 22, and he promises that this land he's going to bless, and he says, be not afraid, ye beasts of the field. So God's got a plan, not just for believers, but even the animal kingdom. Amen. Ain't that something? Even the animal kingdom is going to enjoy heaven on earth. we got this cute little puppy. I should have got a picture and put it up here, but we have this cute little puppy named Cammy. And her predecessor was a cute little puppy named Sebby. And they're just as cute as can be. And they think they're tough, you know. And so they hear, all you have to do is, if they could be nodding off, you can go like this. And they're like, you know, they're going, this little thing about this big, and he's going to kill you. And, you know, they go to the front door, and they'll be barking and looking at us like, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you doing something about this? You know, it's the mailman or mailwoman or whatever. But so anyway, we love them, but we know good and well that if they ever got loose and had to live outside of our house for more than a few hours, they'd be dead. I mean, they would not survive if it wasn't a coyote or a hawk or whatever. And we try to explain that to them when they try to get away, but they do pretty good. I think Sebby had the longest getaway of all of them. But he came home safe. Somebody saved him from being a victim of the natural world or whatever. But we could have that same puppy. And Jenny will debate you on the fact that whether or not she is going to have that same puppy during the millennium. And if Cammy or Sebby were to go walking off into the millennial kingdom, they'd be safe. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be hawks eating shih tzus. Or coyotes eating shih tzus. The wolf will lie down with the bear. That's pretty impressive.
The wolf will lie down with the lamb.
Well, there's the bears and the lions and the wolves and all of them.
Yes.
Okay, the Bible has a particular quotation, but what I'm saying is true.
Yes.
I wasn't quoting the Bible. I'm just saying that no matter what, you take a wolf and a lamb, or a wolf and a bear, as I said originally. Now, lamb isn't going to hurt anybody. But you take a wolf and a bear and stick them in a room together now. If you film it, you'll get some good YouTube video, you know, because it's going to be wild. But during the millennium, a wolf and a bear are just going to slap high five. Hey, man, how's it going? Now, I don't know they're going to talk, but you never know. I mean, yeah, the Balaam's ass did, you know, and so who knows? But it's going to be a whole different world for not just us, but the beasts. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. That means they're going to have all kinds of good green stuff to eat. They're not going to have to worry about going hungry because they're not eating each other. They're going to go out in the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit. Means there's, you know, not just giraffes, but anything, any of the animals that can climb a tree, get fruit. And the vine do yield their strength. So the good times are coming. We quoted, I'm not going to have you turn there, but, you know, I love Romans 8. I just, one verse out of that chapter says, for we know, this is verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And one of my most frequent aches is my knee. Been crashed in a car accident or two and a couple other injuries to it. And so now, 30 years later, arthritis has moved in. The only time it really bothers me, though, is when I'm trying to sleep. And I don't know about you, but I got a pretty high pain threshold. But when you're trying to sleep and you got these pains, and I'll tell you how often that verse pops in my head when I'm laying there at night thinking, I'm never going to get sleep. This knee hurts. Football didn't help, yeah. But not just your knee, but your back or whatever, and you're laying there in bed, and then you start to, and I have to get up or I'll wake Jenny up. So I go and sit out in my chair. And I sit there and think about this. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Because there's coming a day when that's not going to be the case.
Right.
No more migraines. No more back pain. No more eye issues. No more kidney issues. No more fill in the blank. And that's what he's talking about here. In addition to the the animals. Verse 23, he says, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month." Now, how many of you have been told or heard someone teach this had something to do with speaking in tongues? This text is used, has been used for decades by charismatics and Pentecostals. They spiritualize it. And what they claim is that the former rain was the day of Pentecost and the apostolic age. And then there's been this dearth from the time of the apostles till, I guess, it's about 1901 in Kansas, and then Azusa Street, and then the charismatic revival. And that is the latter rain. It goes, I think, without saying that anybody reading this text, unless they were already indoctrinated, nobody would think that if they're reading this.
Amen.
Why? Because it's not saying that. Some of the teachers would always say, "What's that mean?" Well, first of all, what does it say? And what it says is what it means.
Yep.
Well, what else does it say there? They're trying to spread this thing out over 1,900 years. Look at the verse ends by saying, "And the latter rain when?" In the first month. What it's saying is that when the millennium breaks out, it's going to, right off the bat, be amazing. And it already said in the previous verse about how the wilderness do spring and the tree beareth fruit. Well, why? Because they're going to get all the rain they need in that first month in order to just explode. And I believe that it's going to be like it was in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
But I think you get a glimpse of that when you read right up to the time that the giants were still in the land and Joshua was taken and leading the Jews into the promised land, and they had to take on these giants. In the meantime, when the grapes, they had one what we'd have a what's it called, a cluster, they had to put it on a stick and two of them carry it because they were so big. Their grapes were the size of watermelon. Yes. This doesn't have anything to do with untie my bow tie, who stole my Honda stuff, or any of that stuff. And I get excited thinking about that because I get a grape about that big, and I'm like, whoa, you know. Strawberries, how many of you eat strawberries about this big? Yeah, it does?
I love strawberries.
What do you think about a strawberry then being about this big? I mean, big enough for one for the whole family, you know. And you just think about it. And sometimes when you, these days, if you grow something bigger, a lot of times it loses its flavor. I don't think that's the case here. I think the bigger, it's not going to be bigger in size, it's going to be bigger in flavor. One preacher said, "I think we're going to have glorified taste buds in order to just handle it." I said, "I hope that's true." Couldn't tell, but I do like food. Imagine the pie made out of blueberries in the millennium. And Jenny's going to make pies in the millennium. Even Jenny will do that. Well, yeah, Jim. Yeah. And you think about, are they going to be bigger? See that over there? Yeah, whose house is that? That's not a house, that's my pumpkin. But the bottom line here is not the charismatic movement or anything. See, the reason why it says this is because there were years where they were not right with God, and so they had drought, which means they all went hungry. And it was getting so bad that the people were turning to cannibalism. But even it's like in Venezuela, they were eating.